at 6:33, and I'm going to call this Berkeley Public Library Board of Library Trustees meeting to order. Are there any ceremonial matters? There are none, I believe, as far as I know. So, public comment. Now is the time for public comment. Speakers, have people filled out cards?
For public use.
How many cards do we have? We have one card. So if you want to speak, you need to fill out a card.
Mm-hmm.
Is there just going to be one speaker for all of you? Okay. Okay. So speakers are allowed 3 minutes each for up to 10 speakers. And if there are more than 10, the time for all speakers will be reduced to 2 minutes per person. If more than 20 individuals have submitted speaker cards, the time per person will be reduced to 1 minute each. Okay? So why don't we have public comment? I only have one comment, one card. And so, from Kathy Brown.
Hi. I don't think I'm representing this group here. I'm on behalf of the Friends of the Berkeley Public Library. I'd like to let everyone know about our big sale, an annual sale that is happening on September 19th, a Friday, and September 20th, a Saturday, from 10 to 4. It's a hugely exciting community event that I hope you will all come to, and I'll just pass these out. And I would like to thank Jackie for putting it in the newsletter. That was great, thank you. And Trustee O'Keefe has put it in her newsletter. We've also heard from a number of other council people as well. So I just wanted to pass that out and remind everyone about that. There you go.
Thank you.
Hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Okay, I do not have any other comments for public comment, but now is the time for comments from library unions. Is there a comment from SEIU Local 1021 Maintenance and Clerical Units?
That's the other job. Oh, maintenance branch. We're the next one today.
Okay, how many? So there's an opportunity for comments for each of the three unions. And so depending on how many unions want to speak, if there's one union, it's 15 minutes. If there are two, then they're like 7.5 each. And if there are three, there's 5 minutes each. So would each union like to speak, or is there just one union speaking?
I think we only have members of one union.
I can't hear you.
She says there's only one union. Okay. So is there a comment is there a comment from SEIU Local 1021 Maintenance and Clerical Units? Is there a comment from SEIU Local 1021 Community Services and PTRLA Units?
Yes, that's us, yeah.
I recognize you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Green. Hi everyone, if you don't know me, my name is Obi James. I'm a library assistant at the Claremont branch. It's so nice to see so many familiar faces and some new ones. I've been with BPL about 2.5, almost 3 years now. In this time, I've completed my master's degree in library information science with great support from the Friends of the Berkeley Public Library, 2 scholarships. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I didn't make it to the dinner, but I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. And for the last 6 months, I've been the only steward for BPL, so maybe you've seen me in that respect. Some staff have been reaching out to me, and I was encouraged to come make comment this evening to the board, so thank you so much for the time. I have a little prepared. So, as a new steward, one of the first issues I have pursued is the filling of vacancies in the library. In August of 2024, a library aide assigned to the Claremont branch retired after over 20 years of service. The job specifications of this role were such that the employee worked under 20 hours a week and they had not sought conversion to 30 hours when offered. Tess Meyer, our former director, had informed staff that as all roles under 0.75 FTE were vacated, they would be converted to 0.75 for the employee that filled the role, or these hours would be used evenly through the location. In the last year, the role has remained vacant, and no offer of additional hours has been made to any current employee. Based on Section 35 of the MOU, vacancies must be posted in Berkeley Matters within 90 days. Under the Fair Workweek Ordinance, these postings would begin as offers of work. At this time, the role at Claremont has not been posted in Berkeley Matters, either in its original hour limit or in the converted 30-hour version. Informal conversations with Library HR resulted in the explanation that the city will post vacancies when it intends to, and will base this upon operational need. For the Claremont branch, there has been no decrease in circulation, library card sign-up, or in community demand for programming. Therefore, the operational need that existed with the additional library aid has not changed. Further, staff at Claremont have been denied schedule changes and development opportunities due to the supposed operational need. Basic tasks have taken priority for professional staff in place of expanding or maintaining programming. Non-professional staff have also faced an increased expectation to exceed their regular responsibilities to accommodate for the missing staff. Recently, this has become a common condition at other library locations where staff have reported to me impact statements of being told that vacancies will not be filled and they will need to work a little harder for the foreseeable future. For this, staff have not rejected or failed to meet the expectation. Recently, at a formal Step 1 grievance meeting, the union was informed that the city was supported in deciding when to fill vacancies based upon managerial rights. The city has not yet provided documentation to support this claim, and there is no mention of managerial rights in the current MOU. Meanwhile, staffing continues to be an issue in other areas of BPL. Teen services, specifically, has lost a significant amount of staffing in the last year. Currently, there is a single librarian assigned to teen services in the Central Library. With the start of school, this librarian anticipates 40 teenagers to one librarian in the teen room. With any population, this is a ratio that denies the ability to provide services to patrons effectively. Considering the development behavior of adolescents, the ratio is not only ineffective, it is unsafe. Through June and July, staff attended 30 hours of mandated training for de-escalation in the library. Increased training and a uniform enforcement of regulations system-wide is something that staff welcomed. However, before the training, staff would prefer that the levels agreed upon, staffing levels agreed upon in the labor contract be reached, and that staff are retained long enough or maintain regular locations at intervals to understand the expectation from patrons, build relationships with their colleagues, and so to, through this, improve safety of the library more organically. Full staffing allows for more programming, attracting diverse populations to the library, keeping the library a more versatile space, offering different resources to a wider swath of our community. A library full of activity for different groups is less likely for one portion of the community to have a dominance and also removes opportunities for escalated disruptions. More so, full staffing allows more support on desk or on the floor, helping staff to feel supported and not isolated, and allowing a fuller response to violations of behavior guidelines. Increasing responsibility of current staff to physically deter patron disruption through the recent training, while not filling vacancies, has perplexed staff. Staff have also been struck by the cost of the training, which many find to be exorbitant. Following Measure X being passed, staff feel secure in their employment and look forward to the opportunity to provide services to the public with full staffing. Most staff sat in a meeting or meetings leading up to Measure X and were frightened by the outcome presented if it had not passed. Relief has now been replaced by mistrust. Staff are confused and worried by the choice to invest in a training that is, some have felt, controversial and such a great cost without first meeting the responsibilities to taxpayers promised through Measure X. Moving forward with our grievance procedure, we will be meeting with HR Director Janelle Rodriguez next week. Previous meetings with Ms. Rodriguez have gone well, and the union looks forward to a productive, collaborative relationship. It seems inevitable that the meeting will provide a resolution that will satisfy the needs of workers and correspond with the MOU. It has still been frustrating that this ordeal has taken so long and so difficult to find the potential of compliance. Staff expected security following the passage of Measure X, and they received the opposite. Without assurance to their own job security, safety, or transparency with how the measure is being applied, staff have told to each other for unity. Thank you for the opportunity to share their concerns with you, and I would say that all employees are devoted to BPO, but they want to share that the vacancy numbers being presented to folk, they do not find to be accurate because of the discrepancy of vacancies being determined by the city or management's intent. We are working at a shorter staff than was what is always presented. Thank you so much for all of your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Do you have a written statement to share with us?
Yeah, you really like this?
Okay.
Yeah. You can keep that.
We're going to give that to you. Okay. And then just your name is?
Opie.
Okay.
Opie.
Keeps going.
I know, those are my notes, I'm sorry. It's
okay.
Just blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Okay, and so you are from SEIU 1021 Community Services and PTRLA.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, are there any comments from the Public Employees Union Local Number 1? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Now we need one more chair.
I'll grab it.
Okay. So, we would like comments from the Board of Library Trustees. Are there comments from the Library Trustees?
I have no comment. I would just like to request if you could share maybe a written version of that electronically with the board. I would certainly appreciate it.
You can share it with Jackie.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for speaking.
I don't have any comments.
Okay. And so just because you just walked in, Priscilla, do you have any comments? And we'll give you a moment.
No
okay.
Comments.
So my comments are I continue to be appreciative of the employees from the Berkeley Public Library, especially as we move through this transition, and am especially just amazed, really, at all of the activities that are taking place during this summer period. So I just, you know, I see some of the activities, and it's actually quite exciting. And then we will hear a little bit later, we have a new acting Deputy Director of Library Services, and we will hear about that appointment a little bit later. But welcome.
Thanks.
And we'll welcome you again.
Okay.
Okay. And now I'll turn it over to Henry so that we can learn about the HVAC.
Thank you, Beverly. And thank you, everyone, for working together to all be in this room. I'd like to introduce Titus Chen from Public Works. I believe that you're an associate civil engineer. Go, Titus. And appreciation for Titus with his support on our Storytime Room project. Without his wisdom, we would not be where we are today. Take it away, Titus. He's going to tell us about our central library HVAC.
Yes. Thank you, Henry, for the introduction. I'm here to talk about the central library HVAC project. As some of you are aware, we're replacing all the AC units in the central library right now. So it's a bit uncomfortable, unfortunately, but we'll get through it, hopefully. So, just to begin, again, thanks, Yuri, for introducing me, but I want to acknowledge Henry and also Brian Gavin, who's the facilities maintenance superintendent, who I've worked with a lot for this project. And, thank you for your guidance, and you've been very accommodating, and especially with helping me with the financial side, and also with dealing with a contractor on a day-to-day basis. So today, the agenda, I'm just going to briefly go over the project budget and scope. Go over the schedule, and then I'll provide some updates in the form of some photos of the work that's been done so far and what's to come. And then we'll have some questions if you have any. So just to provide an overview, this is an image of the Central Library. So the project is split up into two phases right now. Phase one will be replacing the HVAC units on the Kittredge branch, and then phase two will be for the HVAC unit on the Bancroft wing. So, like I said, we're replacing all the HVAC units. There's four HVAC units on the Kittredge building, and an exhaust fan will be replaced. There's one very large AC unit on the Bancroft wing, and another exhaust fan as well. So we'll be lifting off the AC units, replacing the ducting that goes on the roof, and also all associated electrical equipment and controls. There'll also be a little bit of fire protection involved. There's in-duct smoke detectors, so those will fire off alarms if there's any smoke detected there. And then there'll be some minor roofing repairs as well in the area of work. So the project budget, our contract price is about $1.3 million. And we have a 20% contingency, and that covers any sort of unforeseen conditions or change orders that may arise, for a total council approved not to exceed budget of $1.56 million. Like I said, phase one for the schedule will take place from July through November. In July, they basically just came out and started measuring and getting ready to start, but August is when the work really started. So about mid-August is when they came and shut off all the AC units on the Kittredge branch, and they began the demolition and are mostly wrapped up at this point. And they also started re-roofing around the AC unit on the Bancroft wing, and that's just to get ahead of the rain. So between this month and next month, there'll be a lot of excitement. Right now it's a little pause, but on the 10th, they'll be deploying a crane on Kittredge Street in front of the library, and that'll be to remove a lot of the demolished materials and to bring up some new roofing. After they do that, they'll have room to re-roof around the AC units, set these equipment curbs, which are what the AC units will sit on, and then they'll redeploy the crane, which is scheduled right now for this 24th, to actually deliver the new AC units. So then between October and November is when they'll complete the installation and start up the units and test them, and then they should be up and running by early November at the latest. So phase two will pick up where phase two is, and that'll be on the Bancroft wing. So starting November, they'll begin demolishing the AC unit on Bancroft and the associated ducting and electrical. And then they'll have another crane deployment to lift that off. Afterwards, they'll start getting the area ready, installing the curbs for the new unit, and then they'll have another crane deployment to drop off the new unit. And December, that's when they'll hook everything up and start testing and commissioning it, and then by around January is when we'll be closing out the project. Okay. And here's some photos of the work so far. So on the left here are three of the AC units on the Kittredge branch. On the right is one of the AC units in the exhaust vent, and you can see they've already started partially demolishing them, so you can see the ducting has been cut, and that's in preparation to lift it off the roof in chunks. And then this is just more photos of the work in progress. So you can see the ducting, label it, and started cutting into pieces. And this is an image of what the crane deployment will look like next week. So they'll be shutting off Kittredge Street between Shattuck and Harold Way. So they'll also be closing off the sidewalk there. And they provide an image of what the crane deployment will look like. So if you have some time to swing by between the 10th and 11th and take a look, you won't be able to get too close, but you'll see something pretty cool. And then here are some photos on the Bancroft wing. So we haven't started work here yet, so this is just the existing unit, but you can see it's quite large. It's about the size of a box truck, and it weighs 13,000 pounds. So it's quite an effort to get it off. In these progress photos, they've already completed the re-roofing, so you can see new roofing materials, lighter color. So that's about it in terms of updates. So thank you very much for listening. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay,
sure.
AC5 is not being replaced.
No.
The other boxcar unit. So right. Not all the AC units. 90% of them. There's one large unit on the Kittredge Street, Kittredge roof, that will remain. So just.
Are there any questions? And then I will get back to the order of the meeting. I'm so excited that we have people here. I went out of order. So are there any questions here? I have questions. Are there any questions?
You ask yours, I may have some after.
So I'm glad to hear of this progress. We have been talking about a new HVAC, that infrastructure for quite some time. So I do want to hear a little bit about how you're going to mitigate all of this, which I assume is dust and noise and, you know, closing streets. You know, there are big institutional community members, the YMCA and the post office and Berkeley High, actually in City Hall. So what is the communication to the community around when things are going to close and noise and dust?
Sure. Well, there's actually not that much dust being generated right now. Because most of the construction is localized to just the roof area, and it's quite self-contained. It's on the contractor to basically seal off the existing entrances to the building for the ducting. So that part has been completed. In terms of communication, we communicated the street shutdown due to the craning to the library, but we haven't really had a chance to inform the other neighbors. But up to this point, I haven't heard any sort of complaints from anyone, but if there are any, I'd be open to hearing them.
So I want to suggest that you do some outreach, or if it's the contractor.
Yeah.
Because we will continue to exist in the neighborhood after all this is over, and we want to make sure we're good neighbors. So the building that is on Harold Way, I don't know who owns it now, but if you could, especially to those large institutional constituents, just, you know, proactively reach out to them and let them know the approximate dates and who they should reach out to. And then the other thing is, how does this affect, like, is this during business hours, and how does this affect our employees?
Sure. So, yeah. So it is during business hours. Usually the HVAC guys, they come around 6:30, and they're done by 3 for the most part. In terms of the effect on the employees right now, because all the HVAC units have been, like, demolished, basically, there's a pretty limited capacity to cool the building right now. So I know it's a bit uncomfortable, and I really apologize that just the timing worked out that way. It took about probably 6 months to manufacture these things. So as soon as we approved the submittals for the contractor, we got them to order it. And that's sort of why the schedule is the way it is. And unfortunately, it's kind of during the season when we get most of our heat waves. That's all I can say about that.
Okay, and then will it block access for our patrons, or will it?
Only during the crane deployments. So they're going to be closing off the sidewalk, right? Just right in front of the building here. Oops.
And that's
is that the front door?
That's Kittredge.
Yes.
That would be the historic entrance.
Yeah. Hmm.
Right.
That's where the crane's going to be.
But not the normal entrance.
Okay.
Well, so how will people get in?
That's a good question.
I'm guessing you can still get in the regular entrance. That crane, the place where they're going to deploy it, is right in front of the historic entrance, right?
So you can
still enter the normal way, and you won't be going anywhere near the lift.
Okay.
Right. So the street for cars will be blocked off. The sidewalk to go straight through will be blocked off, but you will be able to access the ramp and the steps down to the main entrance.
Okay. Okay. Let me just say, I see you. I'm going to come to you next. And how many days will the crane be there?
2 days. So 2 days for the first deployment. Probably 1 or 2 for the second.
Okay, so we need to talk about some communications around that. Okay, and you had a question?
Just a follow-up, or a comment and a follow-up regarding communication with the neighbors. As an employee of Berkeley High, I'm not that concerned. I mean, it probably would be a good idea to let the principal know, but I don't think teachers, if they drive, they're not needing that street. So I actually don't think it's that big a deal. although you might as well let them know, but I am concerned about that restaurant, that one restaurant that's there.
Oh, the one on the corner.
That will really affect their business. So I really hope you let them know and like as many details as maybe you could even, I don't know if there's anything you can do for them, but that's who I'm the most concerned about. I'm not sure how much it would affect other businesses. And across the street is just an empty pit, so that's okay.
And I mean, we can let people know that this is progress, because it is. So, okay, and...
It's on the website,
okay.
And it's also been, we've had flyers up on the doors for at least 3 weeks.
Great.
We decided not to put it into the... This is for patrons, patrons who will be impacted. We decided not to put it in the newsletter because the newsletter is a fixed thing and dates can fluctuate. And so we didn't put it in the newsletter, but it has the message and it's the first thing on the website, just FYI. And then it's on the front doors. So the patrons have started to be noticed about 3 weeks ago.
Great. Okay. It's still an opportunity for us to talk about progress and how this improvement will improve the patron experience, because the air conditioning will work. So, are there any other comments from board directors? Anyone filled out a card that they would like to have a comment? And then I'm going to go back to Priscilla. Do you have any comments, since I've gone out of order? Do you have any... comments from Board of Library Trustees? Any bulk comments?
Nope, no comments from me.
Okay.
Excited to see so many people here.
Okay. So let me just go back to what I was supposed to do. Roll call.
Oh.
That's good. Good team.
Okay. Have you taken a silent roll? Have you taken a silent roll?
I have.
Yeah, Jackie.
Okay, great. And so we have received the minutes.
It's down below. You're doing great.
Oh, that's been sent. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so I do want to make a change to the agenda. And I think, how long is the story time band presentation?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Okay, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it can expand. But I think probably right after maybe the order can stay the way it is. Okay, so why don't we go to the next presentation?
So the next presentation will be from
Juan and Tien.
Juan and Tien, members of the Storytime Band. They were up in the small band. Hi, everybody. I'm Juan. I'm one half of the Storytime Band. That's me on the drums there. I just wanted to start by saying that, you know, we partnered with the Parks in 2022. And it's been an incredible partnership. We've been able to do weekly story times throughout the parks in Berkeley. And we've also done, we're part of the We Play at Francis Albrier. And we've also done special appearances at the Winter Carnival and Valentine's Day celebrations, and Mary Ishii was there, so that was great. So having this partnership with the Parks is something that's unprecedented. We've never had that kind of partnership, the library and the Parks, and so it's, like I said, it's been a special thing. So they invited us to Camp Tuolumne, Berkeley Camp Tuolumne. Make sure I know the inside of it, so make sure I was pre-TOTS and pre-camp family week over the summer. And this was the first time
that the camp was doing, it was a music camp. So it was the first time they were doing music at camp. So they had different workshops, music workshops. So to be invited as the Storytime Band, that was special. So it was really like a trial run. We had several pop-up story times, and I have a few slides, I'm sure. And despite there being other activities at camp, of course, the story times were well attended despite all the other things that were happening at camp. I'm going to go ahead and play one of those. So that's us at camp. And not everybody's here. So I said Tim is our keyboardist. Tim Wolf, me on the drums. Michael Quinde, children's librarian at Claremont. And Donovan could not make it, but he was still with us there in spirit. We could have used him on a couple of sound tech stuff because he's kind of like our tech guy. But anyway. So it was beautiful to be, as you can see, the beautiful background of the camp, you know, it was a few challenges, you know, as far as the heat. This was actually at the amphitheater, but because of the fires that happened there, just still the trees are still growing back, but it's, you know, so there's not as much shade. So we did have some challenges as far as doing these story times in the heat, so we didn't want to overexhaust the kids because we do a lot of movement, and you know, but we worked through it. It was tough. There was also surfaces. I have to, for the drums, it has to be on a flat surface, but a lot of the instruments that we hauled, it has to be on a flat surface. So there were some challenges there, but overall, the experiences were great at the camp. That's another part. That's the Cubic Zirconia city. And then we'll do another. This is pretty much the end of it. So these pictures here are from the. The last night we were invited to the annual talent show that the camp does, and so we were the opening performance for the talent show, and that was what you see in these pictures here. Now, normally we play for about 45 minutes, but we had to condense it into about 15, 20, I think. So it was short but sweet, and we got the crowd all hyped for the other performances. So it's more of the township. Michael with hip and hop. And we got everybody do the hip and hop. And this is from, I think they called that kids camp. It was called kids camp. So after our last night, the medic, me and Tim were having some food, and the medic came to us, and he said he had been the medic at the camp for 30 years, and he had never seen anything like us, and he was just so grateful that we came to camp, and he was saying, you know, this is what the camp needed, you know, this kind of, and I also have a quote from a family that came. This is from a patron. They come to the Tree Hall Pittman South Branch, and they also came to camp. John Cosim and Deborah Wong. The Storytime Band was absolutely incredible. They played for all age groups, and they were so engaging with the kids that they couldn't help but have fun. It was truly a special experience that my kids will never forget. Mm-hmm. So that's a quote. And it was just, like I said, it was a wonderful experience, and we did get invited back, and so I hope we can make the trip back. I just want to say that The food was also incredible. I kind of thought I was at Chef Ramsay's. Yeah. I'm still trying to recover from the food. So it was great, great food. And I just want to thank my colleagues that a lot of who are here today, the library, because without them, I couldn't do some of the things, you know, with the Storytime Band, you know, with scheduling. And so I do appreciate being able to be a part of the Storytime Band and be able to make these performances. And again, my colleagues have been able to hold things down. And so I do appreciate them for that. That is kind of it on my part. I want to hand it over to Tien, who is part of the foundation. And again, she's part of it. You got the same?
Sure.
No.
Sorry,
it's washed though. Yeah, so this is the side of Juan I don't really ever see, which is like adult Juan. you know, I usually have to entertain kids. So I am going to give, you know, just sort of my perspective of being part of the Storytime Band. I am a longtime Berkeley resident. I think that's what it might say in your agendas. That's not a lie. My family came here in 1974, so I could start kindergarten at John Muir. So no need to do the math. You can just, you know, I've been here a long time. And I have pretty much lived here ever since, except for some years to go to school. Go to college because, you know, you got to move away to truly appreciate Berkeley. Mm-hmm. So I returned in 2001, and I have not left since. But for some reason, even though I've pretty much lived here my entire life, I have never been to Camp Tuolumne. Mm-hmm. So I was so grateful to be able to go for the first time. And, you know, so as Juan was saying, it was our first time as a residency at Tot Week. We did have to figure some stuff out. You know, it was really hot. We had to get some shade because we had to make sure that my keyboard wasn't going to melt down and that the kids weren't going to melt down because, you know, kids and heat, they do not work together. But I think it was a very successful collaboration, and I am so grateful to have been able to go, and also, again, for everybody who stepped in, for Juan and for Michael and Donovan, so that they could be able to go there. We appreciated it, and I think all the families and the kids really appreciated it. As Juan said, one of our biggest performances was the final evening. We had a lot of family come up and thank us. And I had one mom who looked like me, Asian American, and she said to me that she was so thrilled that her kid could see somebody like her up in the band. And to me, that's really special because that, to me, is what really, I think, makes our band shine, is the diversity of our band. We have diversity of gender, of race, of everything. You know, I think we really represent and reflect the diversity of Berkeley. And I hope that that is also a reason why people feel really welcome at our concerts. You know, it's an amazing feeling to be part of this band and to be part of a community. Once a week, if you guys haven't been to our performances, there are hundreds of people that come. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, the full spectrum of people who live in Berkeley. And so I, you know, again, thank you very much for allowing everybody to be in the band. And I do also really want to call out Juan and Michael, because the band is, I think, very popular, but that wasn't without an effort, a lot of effort on the part of you guys, getting out into the community, making visits to the classrooms, working with the park on the collaboration. You know, I feel like you guys really have stepped up and gone beyond, you know, beyond what is expected, and I really do think it's created something that's really special. So, thank you. Thanks for the time. On the table for the trustees.
Tomorrow, if anybody wants to, yeah. You don't have to have a kid.
Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for all you do. And as the city council representative on the board, I just want to say I'm so happy that our Parks Direct Department has been really working with you and supporting you and giving you opportunities to get out in the community more. And it sounds like it's a good relationship and it's working, but if you ever do have any trouble or just need some assistance with the city, I'm in your corner. And so you can reach out to me with Shoshana O'Keefe, I'll tell Scott what he has to do. I don't actually get to do that, but I can help if you need any assistance on that side. I'd be really happy to. And I just, it means a lot to me because I really, like, when I ran for office, one of the main things I really wanted to stand for was making our city just a more vibrant, creative, playful place for our kids. And so you're doing that. So thank you, and I support you.
Some other dates that's coming up.
Huh. We're hard working band.
Well.
All right. Okay, I think we did. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I have a comment
here.
I experienced the band for the first time at the Freight and Salvage concert.
Yes.
And it was wonderful. I didn't have a child with me, so I felt a little untethered. But it was just a wonderful performance, and it was very clear that it was appreciated by all. Children were able to be children, and it was just wonderful. I was just really very proud to be associated with the Berkeley Public Library and with you all. So I just want to just express my gratitude for that.
I would be remiss if I didn't call out the foundation, which is actually how I got involved, with all of this. Is I'm a board member on the foundation. I've been here for many years. And as a result of, you know, being in both things, we saw this remarkable opportunity to reach the families of Berkeley, which is something that has been, you know, sort of a challenge for us. So it was great. We got a lot of people. We raised some money. We got more donors. So it was just a smashing, I think, success.
Thank you for the comment.
Appreciate it
so much. Okay. Well, now let's go to the consent calendar. Are there any items that anyone would like to pull? Okay. So with that, I will entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar along with the minutes.
So moved.
That's a movement by Amy Roth, a second.
Second
by Councilmember Shoshana O'Keefe. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, and with that, so that passes. And with that, I would like to go to the action calendar. And we have two items on the action calendar. So the first one, actually,
thank you, Beverly. Item A, nominations for the selection of board president, and item B will be nominations for the selection of board vice president. As for both bylaws, tonight the action we're taking is to call for nominations for president and vice president. These positions play a very important role with the Board of Library Trustees, working with the secretary, usually the director or acting director, to develop agendas and for the meeting and to discuss those agendas beforehand. Tonight, we're going to ask for nominations for president first, and then we will do a separate round for vice president. In the next meeting, in the October meeting, we will conduct a vote for both of those positions. So tonight's only for nominations. So we'll start with nominations for the board president.
I'd like to nominate Beverly Green for president.
Second.
Short and sweet.
I support the nomination.
Second? Yeah.
All right.
Do we have to vote on that?
No, that's next time. Okay. So item A has concluded. We'll go to item B.
Thank you. That's good. You're not against it.
No.
You accept?
I do accept.
Okay, good. Okay. Nominations for the selection of board vice president.
I would like to, I recognize myself, and I would like to nominate Tamir Ami to be the vice president. Is there
second.
A second?
Second.
Second from, came from O'Keefe first.
As long as she's not upset, you don't seem upset.
I accept
okay.
the nomination.
All right.
Okay. So that is an action item. Do we need to, so we'll close that next time.
Mm-hmm. So for next meeting will be
the election.
The election will happen for both positions at the next meeting. Okay.
Okay, and now we will have information reports.
Okay. Thank you, Beverly. This is my first director's report, or acting director's report. I'd like to start with recognizing Library Services Manager Amanda Myers, who has been appointed acting deputy director for the interim period to support our organization and administration and me until the new director is hired by Bolt. Amanda's been with us for 13 years and brings a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I'd like to again congratulate her on her acting role. Thank you, Amanda.
So I will say thank you for taking this on. This is a really important time at the library, and so your accepting this position really helps with continuity during this period. So I want to thank you, to welcome you, even though I know you, and thank you for this. Are there any comments or questions? Okay.
Thanks, Beverly. Yeah. Traditionally, the director's report starts with an overview of vacancies. There's a 9% vacancy rate. I count 9 recruitments in progress, including recruitments at Central, at North, at THPS, and at West. So we're looking forward to finishing those recruitments and starting on more recruitments. And I want to thank both the HR department and everyone else on the team working on these recruitments constantly, among all the other things that they're doing. Thank you, team. Go team. Also, I have a list of things to recognize that staff are doing. The first one is the pop-up creative lab at the Central Library, which comes out of our prototyping team, a mix of people from all of our locations that are working together to do creative things, a la sort of makerspace type things, but they've created their own version of that, and they've been doing a pop-up in the commons on the first floor of the library that's been very successful. Also, just an update on the Central Library Children's Storytime Room. I recognized Titus before he left, but we have finished the contract for this project, and we're about to get a building permit and start on construction, which should take about 16 weeks. This has been a long time coming. I started on this when I first came to Berkeley Public about 3 years ago. So it will encompass redoing the story time room on the fourth floor of Central and the room immediately outside of that. Brian and team have, go Brian, go team.
He's gone.
Have helped us with clearing both of those rooms. The demo,
all
yeah.
The shelves,
yes.
Computer tables.
And if you go up there now, you'll see it's remarkably different. And so what will first happen is the interior room will be transformed by taking out some low walls. Then they'll start on carpet, walls, some interesting tree-like objects. Recognition plaques for Alba Witkin and the Friends and Foundation. Shout out to the foundation, who has dedicated $25,000 more dollars to this project and has been very supportive monetarily to date, to the tune of multiple hundreds of thousands for the pre-construction costs, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Besides the remodel of the interior room and the exterior room, we're going to have new shelving and new furniture in in both spaces, and that's a separate project. We're working with Anderson Brulé Architects, who created the initial conceptual design. So everyone's been, well, multiple people have been part of this, especially Ryan, your team.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. I can take questions now. Wait. Okay, Caltopia, every year the new students for Cal come to campus, and we have been doing outreach to Caltopia, which is magical and amazing, and thank you to everyone who participated in the outreach. And to Heather, who organized that. We show up and give library cards to students who are kind of our invisible patrons that live right next to us. And we gave almost 2,000 new cards between October 24th and 25th. Often they bring the stand mixer and other things and have like a cool craft. And the kids pretty much love it. And there's lots of free stuff, too. So it's amazing. Want to recognize exhibits, the Braceros exhibit here at West and at Central, I believe Stephanie, Jacob,
Patricia,
were part of putting
Nico.
This together, Nico, and this is amazing, the Braceros photography from the 40s and through the 60s. And so we've been doing, it's been kind of a renaissance in exhibit land at Central and the branches recently. And I'd like to recognize people on the art and music team, including Jacob, for that work, which has been quite impressive and kind of set a new bar. Also Heather. So all the branches have been doing tons of programming. THPS, to me, is like over the top. Chin has been amazing with a bunch of different things related to the soil book, and it's almost too long to read through this whole thing, but recognition to Chin. Claremont has been doing some splitting of bookcases to make more movable space in that very tiny library, and that's been an ongoing project, plus Chess Day Tournament. Here at West, I think 2 weekends ago, we had, I don't know if everyone's heard about this, but Reading Rainbow rebooted with Michael Threets, was filmed here in this branch, and he wanted to film it there with PBS. Amy organized that, multiple staff, including Rudy, I think, Demarian,
Raylene,
and Lizette were there. There's a picture with Michael. And so we're going to be featured in a nationwide.
That is amazing.
Yeah, cool. It's pretty amazing.
Do we know when it's going to air?
They said it was going to be October, but I don't believe it. I don't know how they'd edit all those episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
North. Yeah, it's magical, and shout out to our organization and the relationship with Michael that he wanted to do it here. He asked to do it here. North continues to be our busiest location. Tons of circulation. Highlights is the tea ceremony they did. Author John Hickey. I'm continually impressed with all the branches of their level of programming and kind of they're very involved with the community and kind of like providing very interesting experiences for our patrons. And that concludes my report today. Mm-hmm. Go team.
So, are there any comments?
I do have a question.
Priscilla?
If we have ideas for programming, who do we chat with at the library about that?
The library director.
Well, I'm one part of a greater team, but I will take your comments, and Amanda and or Bill and or, you know, and so we're open to all kinds of ideas.
So there is a gap I'm finding now, but I did see that, not a gap at the library, but I feel like it's a gap that can be filled. I see that you had a lively Chinese brush painting workshop at Claremont Branch, and the store over on 4th Street, stationery store that used to have all the classes, they've closed, I guess. Which was fantastic. It'd be really nice to see more calligraphy, writing, kind of that sort of thing at the library. I just feel like it's a good match. And it looks like so you're already starting that. So that's just an idea for a gap to fill in the community.
Awesome. I wanted to also say that most, well, all of our librarians also have this agency. It's an amazing thing to be a librarian, to sort of come up with things, and I see them doing that all the time. And so when they can find like a community partner or someone who where it's a kind of partnership with an existing organization, that's kind of where the magic happens, like for example with the parks or working mm-hmm. with the Frayed. But yes, thanks for the notions, ideas. Priscilla.
You already had it.
Yeah.
More.
Okay.
So, I will call on myself.
All right.
So, I went to the author reading of Soil.
Oh.
Which was up at the Berkeley Botanical Garden.
In the Redwood Grove.
It was wonderful. It was beautiful. So, I just wanted to, whomever worked on that, it was incredible.
The Racial Justice Advisory Group.
Yeah, it was, and I'm actually reading the book, and it's a great book. It's a great book. That was, it was a beautiful venue. It was very, it was a really incredible reading, and the discussion, the two discussants along with the author, it was just really a very, it was an incredible event. It was an incredible event. So, okay, any other comments on it?
My comment is that I have to go, and I'm sorry, I'm going to miss your presentation, and I'm sorry about that.
It'll be fine.
Well, I'll follow up. Unless it'll be like less than 3 minutes.
It'll be less than 3 minutes.
Oh, you know what, then I'll stay.
Okay.
They can wait.
So the next comment is, this is an update. This is an update on the Director of Library Services Recruitment Committee update. It's actually the ad hoc subcommittee. So, as you're aware, our former Director of Library Services resigned, and her last day here was in mid-August. As a president of the Board of Library Trustees, I appointed myself and Vice President Tanir Ami as members of the ad hoc subcommittee to coordinate the recruitment of a new Director of Library Services. So we are in the process of choosing an executive recruitment firm to conduct a nationwide search. We expect to engage a firm within the next 2 weeks, hopefully, which this will include the City of Berkeley procurement process, which I am not an expert in, but there is a process to bring on a consultant. We have met with the Director of Human Resources staff to support the effort, and we will provide an update. We will continue to provide updates at every meeting. We will have a robust community engagement process, or that is what we would like to see. We're going to take our time, but not dawdle in terms of bringing in a new Director of Library Services. So that is my report.
Glad I stayed.
I have a question. Yes. Are you including, looking at, I don't remember their name, the last firm that we worked with?
Yes.
Good, because they did a good job, I thought.
Mm-hmm. So we have actually, yes, we spoke with them. We spoke with a number of firms. Some of them are not available, so some of them just don't have the bandwidth to take us on. But it's important that we get the right firm, because the Berkeley Public Library is a special place. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Well, I think with that, are there items for future agendas?
Yeah, I have one.
Yes.
My term will be up in January, so it behooves us to start some recruitment process or talking about it next time for
okay.
a vacancy on the board.
And thank you. for bringing that up. There is a process to extend, just FYI, for temporary time. Any other agenda items from board directors or trustees? Okay, well, we will have an update on the library search process at the next meeting. And I also want to thank you for the story time book backpack.
Cool.
It really was a wonderful event. So if there are no other agenda items, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So move.
Okay. I'll give that one to Shoshana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll give the second to Amy.
Whatever.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Any abstentions?
No.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you next time.